been talking about the subject of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you today. What a privilege it is to be here, gathered together on this wonderful day, Father. We ask that the very person we're talking about this morning, the Holy Spirit, would manifest himself, rise up big on the inside of us, teach us, instruct us, and fill us with a fresh anointing today. In Jesus' name, everyone that's believed that said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. This is number three. We've been talking about the subject. We're calling it here and now, praise God. And we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday morning, we talked and shared from the five different places in Scripture, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, and Acts 19, that these are five different places in the Bible, in the Word of God, where people were actually filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? And so I just encourage you to either pick up a CD back there. They're back there on the tables. You come in free of charge. Or you can go to our website and just download it free right from the website to your computer. However you want to do that, whatever way works best for you. Praise God. So these five different places. Now, what I'm going to talk about today and is one of these gifts that God has given to us. You know, when God gave us Jesus, he gave us a lot. Amen. We got more than just forgiveness of sins. Now, thank God for forgiveness of sins, because without that, we would have nothing else. But the Bible says, he that spared not his own son, God didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, what's all things? All things. Someone looked it up in the Greek and it said all things. And guess what it meant? All things. There's no hidden meaning to it. Amen. So when you got Jesus, you got the package deal. You've got it all. When you got Jesus, you got your healing. Now you have to know about that first. When you got Jesus, you got your redemption. When you got Jesus, you got your righteousness, because he is your righteousness. You don't have just right. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through his blood. Amen. Now, stop, think about that. That's the whole reason that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. The Scripture tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Because his blood, now stop and think about this. Jesus' blood is representing you and me. It's not your blood, not my blood, thank God. It's his blood that's representing you in the courts of heaven, and that's why you and I can come boldly before his throne. Glory to God. Yeah. Because you're not standing in your own righteousness. So, well, Pastor, I blew it this week. I just don't feel like I'm really righteous. You know, well, that has nothing to do with it. The fact is, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. It was a gift given to you. You didn't work for it. Okay? Amen. And so there's not necessarily a feeling attached to that. So we have to be careful that we don't walk by our feelings and our emotions, but we walk by what the Word of God has to say. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Well, you know, sight is one of the five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we touch, smell, taste, so forth, so on. Amen. So we walk by faith and not by the five senses. Because the five senses will tell you otherwise. Amen? Your five senses will say, I don't know if I should pray today. I don't really feel like God's going to hear me today. Well, that has nothing to do with the fact, because the blood of Jesus literally made you worthy. Amen? Praise God. I might start preaching here in a minute. But today I want to talk about the benefits of speaking in other tongues. I'm going to spend today and more than likely next Sunday, and we'll wrap that up probably next Sunday, talking about the benefits of speaking with other tongues. Amen? In the last couple of weeks, we've had two or three people get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with new tongues. And that's a marvelous thing, isn't it? And I want you to know that if there's anybody here that's born again, that's the only qualification that matters. If you're born again and Jesus Christ is your Lord, you qualified to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. And I want to show you today from the Scripture. If you have your Bibles, go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read out of the Amplified in this particular verse here. The Scripture says that God, and I believe it's Psalm 69, somewhere around there, says that God daily loads us with benefits. Say daily.
Daily.
When you look at any given calendar, there's a days that add up to equal a month. Amen. So God daily loads you with benefits. And one of those benefits that He's given us is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the ability to speak in a heavenly tongue. All right. Now, the first benefit, if you're taking notes, you know, you got your bulletins, you can write on the back of those. You can write these particular things down, these points down here. But benefit number one is that you receive power. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in the Amplified, it says, "But you," Jesus said this to His followers, He said, "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, might, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the various bounds of the earth." Praise God. Verse 8 says that Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Amen. Now, last week, you know, we began to talk about the fact that there's two separate experiences. At the new birth, you receive you're born of the Spirit. The Bible talks about in John, the well of John chapter 4, that's what it is. John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And He said that, you know, if anyone believes on Me, He says, you'll never thirst again. And it'll be in him like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so there's the well of salvation. Water is always a type in the Bible as a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Are you with me?
Yeah.
And when we get born again in Jesus, we get the well. Okay, and that's basically for you, for your benefit. But over in John chapter 7, Jesus said on that last day of the great feast, He stood up and spake and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. For the Scripture says, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow rivers of living water."
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
We're saying that song this morning, "Let the river flow." Amen? Well, there's a difference between a well and a river. A well is self-contained. A river can overflow its banks. Amen? It says there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says that the banks of the Jordan overflow every particular year at this particular time. The banks overflow. Wouldn't that be greater if our banks overflowed? Amen? That the rivers of God on the inside of us just spill over on the people around us. Amen? And I believe that's going to happen more and more and more. You know, this world, it's a mess. Politics are a mess. What's been going on in this government is an absolute a mess. And how many of you know that? And I encourage you not to get wrapped up in it.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in the care of that thing. I'm telling you what, because everywhere you turn, you'll see the news media and things, Fox News, CNN, all these different things. And it's designed to pull you down.
Amen.
It's okay to be aware of what's going on for the purpose of praying. But don't let that be your ultimate source of information. Because the devil will use that to put fear on the inside of you so that it looks bleak and hopeless. But listen, we're still the salt of the earth.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, we can change things, bless
Amen.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
But Acts chapter 1, 8 says, "But you shall receive power." Say power.
Power.
"After the Holy Ghost comes upon you." Now, it's interesting because the New Testament, of course, is written in Greek, Old Testament, Hebrew. But it's the power, the word power here in the Greek here is the word dunamis. It's the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. Okay? Back in the 70s, it was a cool thing to say, "How you doing? Dynamite." Well, that's a little bit outdated now. Amen? But it means this. It's where we get our English word dynamite. And it means this, a miraculous power. I looked this up in the Strong's Concordance. It says, it's miraculous power, usually by the implication of a miracle itself, ability, might, and strength. Isn't that something? So here's the first thing that I want us to realize is this. The first benefit to being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you receive power. Okay? How many of you here have been filled with the Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay? Man, there's a powerhouse in here today.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And I think really part of the minister, the preacher's job is to wake us to the fact that we have this power on the inside of us and stir up the embers that are inside of us to realize we have the power. Len Mink does a song he did years ago. It's one of the first songs I ever did. It's called, you know, what's it called? We've got the power. In the name of Jesus. We have that power. Hallelujah. Part of the job is this Holy Ghost is to bring all things to our remembrance. So, Lord, I need that right now. Okay. Amen. Say, I've got power. Say it again. I've got power. Inside me.
Inside me.
All right. Now, these old timers that we read about, John Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, people that raised people from the dead. Brother Wigglesworth, it was over 23, 24 people in his life ministry that were raised from the dead. I don't know about you, but that's 24 more than me. And I believe that we're coming into a time where God can use us in that matter.
Amen.
Amen. But, you know, we're talking a guy, Brother Wigglesworth had like a fifth grade education. So he couldn't attribute it to his education. Certainly not a college degree. And he couldn't even read the first book that he could read because his wife used to read to him. The first book that he could read after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost was the Bible. The Holy Ghost taught him how to read English.
Amen.
And so he started reading the Bible. And so he was a very bold individual from the natural. And would to God we all need boldness. Amen. We can pray for boldness. It's scriptural to do that. We're not talking about cockiness and a false confidence here and arrogance. We're talking about boldness, confidence in who Christ has made us. Amen? And he would, like him and John G. Lake, they would look in the mirror that they had and they would look and say, that man right there and point at themselves is filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the power of God, and God himself lives on the inside of that man right there. And they would be looking at them in the mirror talking to themselves. Now, the average person would see that and say, they have gone off the deep end. Amen? Someone said, they've lost their mind. They did. Now I have the mind of Christ. Amen? But I'm telling you, there's fruit and results that when you acknowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. Was it Philemon? It kind of looks like filet mignon, you know, Philemon, that book, you know. And it says that the communication, Philemon chapter 1, verse, it's only one chapter, 6th verse, says that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So your faith becomes effective, effectual, powerful when you acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I know me better than anybody else, but there have been times where my back was up against the wall, where I had some serious situations to deal with, some challenges the enemy was throwing at us. And that, you know, when that happens, your mind is like, what are we going to do here? Well, your spirit says you're going to trust the Lord. That's what you're going to do here. Yeah. Scripture tells us not to lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct our path. And I tell you, it was an unconscious thing, but the Holy Spirit would lead me. Because the enemy's purpose is to push you down. Do you hear me? The enemy wants to push you down, make you feel like a worm in the dust, to make you feel like you're nothing, that you're a mistake going somewhere to happen. And God does not see you that way. But when you begin to acknowledge who you are in Christ Jesus, it will stir up your faith. And so I would take drive sometimes, just start praying in tongues. And drive 50 miles. It's the best miles I ever put in that car. Amen. And then I would start speaking out things. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And just 4 or 5 scriptures, just to reiterate it over and over. Amen. And I would look in the natural, but nothing changed in the natural, but something inside of me changed. Now, hear what I'm saying here this morning, because a lot of times what happens is Christians will shut their mouth when they really should be opening their mouth. Yeah, you with me now? Because the power is in the spoken word.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, surely oppression will make a wise man mad. In Ecclesiastes. So, you know, if the devil's screwing with you, messing with your head, you know, start reminding him of his future.
Amen.
His impending doom.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil comes to you, puts a thought in your mind, oh, you know how bleak your future is. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. You know, starts painting. Nothing's happened yet. And he's painting this picture in your mind. And you just got to speak up and say, devil, listen to me. Do you know what the Word of God says? That you are the one that will burn in the lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You are the one that's going to burn. That's your future, devil. You mean talk to the devil like that? Yeah, you got to talk to the devil sometimes. Are you with me? Well, I don't know if I'm in any position to ruffle anybody's feathers. Well, amen. The devil has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job is to enforce his defeat. You know, we have officers and, you know, my father was a policeman for a number of years, you know, and his job was to enforce the law. Okay? And he would get out there. I remember he was working on his detail downtown Pittsburgh and he drove that big old Harley Davidson. He would stand out there in traffic, hold us, and I would talk to him about this, you know. Never got a ride on that thing. Always wanted to, but, you know. But he would go out there in the middle of rush hour traffic, just lift his hand up, and cars would stop. Now, he certainly didn't have the power physically to stop those cars, but he had the authority. Okay? And we don't have power within ourselves, but we have the authority that's in the name of Jesus through the Holy Ghost to put our hand up and say things to the devil, and he'll have to stop.
That's a good word.
You see, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll what? Stick around?
Flee.
Yeah. He's got a bad case of the fleas. So when you resist the devil, he flees from you. Amen? Power. Say power.
Power.
I had a situation that just came to my mind, but I had a situation happen to me many, many years ago. This is probably in 1989. Yeah, 1989 to be exact. That's the year. It was in the month of February, 1989, at 6 a.m. But it was in February of 1989, in the south bedroom. And my wife and I, this is our first time. We actually went back after graduating. We graduated from Bible school in 82 and 83. And we started our first church in 1986. So we went back to our Bible school to go to the Winter Bible Seminar to hear Brother Hagin preach in 1989 at the Winter Bible Seminar. And it was this was one of the worst winters that we had in all over the whole America that particular time. It was terrible. And because I remember driving down in that. So we went down a little bit earlier, and Lynn's brother lived in Oklahoma City, which is about 2 hours south of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, right at roughly 2 hours. And so we decided we're going to go down. He was stationed there at that time with his job. So we decided we're going to go down a little bit early before the seminar. We're going to meet with her brother. And so we did. We never had been there before. We drove down there. And they lived in this apartment complex. Now, the way it was set up was there was a building here, several different buildings, all the same apartment complex. And there was two floors. He had the bottom floor on one of those complexes. So we went there and chilled out for a while, made some lunch, fellowshiped a little bit. And so I asked, we had just gotten there. And so I asked Lynn's brother, I said, I'm a little bit tired. Do you mind if I just go lay down for a little bit? You know, so I went in their bedroom to lay down. And what happened to me, and we're talking about power here. What happened to me was a complete shock. I had no idea that this was going to take place. But I went into the bedroom. He had one of these big water beds, you know. Back when they were real popular. And I never laid on one of those things before. So I said, I'm going to take advantage of this. So I just stretched out across the bed, just was laying there just for a couple of minutes. And while I'm laying there, I heard behind my head an audible voice. And there was nobody in the room except me. There's no radio behind me. There was just the back of the wall was right behind me. And And I don't know if you've ever had something to that degree happen like that, but your flesh can just spaz in a time like that. And I'll tell you, it was like every hair on the back of my head just stood up. You know, I'm like, and this voice was talking to me right behind my head. And I'm laying there, you know, I'd just been in there a few minutes. And someone asked me one time, well, what did the voice say? I don't know. I was too terrified to even. My flesh was trembling. I thought, what in the world is this? And then in the faint background, I could hear my wife and her brother talking out in the kitchen a little bit, you know, out there. I could faintly hear them, but that wasn't it. And this voice kept talking. And I'm thinking, this isn't a matter of seconds this took place, okay? But it seemed longer than that to me. It was only a few seconds. And when this was going on, something in him, and I know what it was, the Holy Spirit said, you better do something about that. The Holy Ghost literally spoke up inside me, not out here, but in here, and said, you better do something about that. But I didn't do anything because I was still terrified. Your flesh. I wasn't expecting that, you know. It's not every day that you have devils talking to you. You know what I'm saying? And it was just, I guess I was in a state of shock in a way because I just wasn't certainly not expecting that. But a second time the Lord said, you better do something about that. And the voice kept talking. I didn't say anything. The third time the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and that was the last time, he said, more authoritative, he said, you better do something about that. So when that happened, I got enough strength to get up on my elbow, you know, okay. I'm in this dark room. This is going on. You know what I'm saying? But you know, it's really interesting. When that thing was going on, I had a sense. I believe it was the Lord. It was showing me that something was going on upstairs in the apartment above where my brother-in-law lived. Something was going on. That's what was creating this. I just knew it. Okay? Because spirits don't have to knock on doors. They can go through walls. You know what I'm saying? And so whatever it was, that spirit that was, you know, coming from up above there through there, you know, whatever they were doing was trying to harass me down there. So that third time I got up on my elbow like this and I said, I just mustered up enough strength to say, in the name of some. Now, some people think they could just go in there and go, in the name of Jesus, you know. But when you're in that situation and you're not even aware of what's going on, I mean, your body's like in shock almost, you know. But I got up on my elbow like this, kind of propped myself up, and I said this. I said, in the name, and as soon as I said name, I didn't even say Jesus yet, that thing completely stopped. That voice completely stopped. I didn't even get the name of Jesus completely out of my mouth. I said, in the name, there it goes. Amen?
Yeah.
And it stopped. And I was like, what in the world is this all about, you know? And so I went out there after I got myself composed enough there. I walked out there and went out there and sat down. And I go to her brother. I go, by the way, I said, do you know these people that live upstairs here? He goes, oh, yeah, they're into some really weird stuff, you know. And he went on to explain that. So then I knew what was going on, okay. Now, I said all that. That wasn't even in my notes this morning, but I said all that to say this, that the enemy is terrified at you. He's terrified at you. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll what? Flee. Now, guess what that word flee means? It means to, in the Greek, it means to run as if in terror. Amen? To run as if in terror. That means the devil runs from you as if in terror. But what God needs from you and I, folks, is us to open our mouths and begin to decree and declare what the Word of God says. Jesus resisted the devil. We know that from the Scripture in Matthew's Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus was tempted of the devil. It tells us how he resisted him. What did he do? He opened his mouth and declared Scripture. It is written. Three times. And every single time the devil left him. Every single time. Well, yeah, Pastor, that's Jesus. He could do that. No, Jesus was teaching us and showing us how we are to operate in this earth. Are you with me? Now, I remember back back in 1981, we had, my friend and I, we used to go down to the streets of Pittsburgh and reach and pass tracts out and reach out to witness to the lost people that were down there. And back in those days, Liberty Avenue was really, really bad. I think it's cleaned up since, you know, in a lot of respects. But back in those days in the 70s, how many of you know what I'm talking about? That was a bad, bad, bad area. Well, we got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I told my friend, we talked about this, I said, we're going to get down there, the worst part in Pittsburgh, we're going to start winning the lost, amen. We were just crazy enough to do it, you know. So we went down there, and we started witnessing, and sure enough, people came to the Lord. Well, I remember on one occasion, and I was sort of new at this, we were standing in front of this theater where there was female and male prostitutes coming in and out as we were standing there. Just paint the picture in your mind. You know what I'm saying? And we're standing there passing out tracts, you know, to get people born again. So people were here and there, people were getting saved. Some people didn't, you know. And there was a male prostitute, all right, that made his living on people coming to him. You know what I'm saying? And as a result of us standing there, it was taking business from him. So he said, all right. And I'm standing there with my friend and this other lady. What was her first name again? Colleen. And she was more mature in the things of God than we were at that time. She had been walking with the Lord, knew her authority in Christ. And anyway, this guy, he was just a young guy, but he was just really messed up. And he was just ranting and raving. He'd come out and start yelling at us, start cussing at us and stuff, you know. And finally, what happened was, is he came out, and Colleen, she had these a big handful of tracts, you know, gospel tracts to get people saved. And he went out behind and grabbed those tracts and lit them on fire. Pulled out his little Bic lighter and just lit them on fire. And I'm standing there watching this all take place, okay? I mean, it's like a movie almost, you know. I'm watching this take place. And she, you would have thought she would have been intimidated by that. She turned around and he's like, every time we'd start talking or sharing somebody and getting ready to lead them to the Lord, this guy would come up in the midst of that and start talking and saying stuff and interrupt what was going on for people being saved. Well, she stood there after that happened. He was just going on and on and on. And she pointed her finger in his face. She said, I command you to shut up in Jesus' name. And he's like, all of a sudden he's like, and he couldn't say anything. And I'm standing there watching this take place. Now you read about stuff like that in the book of Acts. You know where Paul said that one guy, he'd be blind for a season. He was. He was interrupting the gospel. Amen. And I was an eyewitness to watch that happen and to see the power of God. This lady was, at that time, she was really developed in her walk with Christ, and I was just sort of new to all this, you know what I'm saying? And it just was so impressive to me that this spirit that was behind this guy would actually listen. But the bottom line is this, power. You have power. Praise God. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen? Say power. Man, I just can't seem to get away from that. I've got some other good points here. You know what I'm saying? I really want to move on to the next one. But the Lord has me stationed here right now. Amen? Amen. Now, I have found this to be true. Peter did this too. Kind of rhymes, doesn't it? But the Apostle Peter, in his letter to the Christian, he said this. He says, though you know these things, I'm going to stir you up by way of remembrance. Remember? Peter's saying, look, guys, you've heard this before. Let me tell you again. He goes, I'm going to stir you up by way of remembrance. See, there's a danger in the church today. There's a real dangerous thing. We have to be, all of us have to be really careful with this, is that, oh, I've heard that before. There's a switch in our mind sometimes that says, heard that before. Some of you, you've heard my example so many times, you're like, heard that before. So you put your mind in neutral. Now, Brother Hagin freed me from the fear of repetition.
Oh my goodness.
Because, see, I heard them stories over and over and over. I know where he's going with this story over. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit can take something on that 15th time that you hear it and reveal something to you if your heart and your mind is open to receive wisdom and revelation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
And I think there's a lot of folks that are in here today that need to be awakened in their to the fact that you, the power that you have on the inside of you, and put your foot down on the devil and just let him stop harassing you.
That's good. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Are you with me now?
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I'm in any condition to intimidate anybody. Well, you need to intimidate the devil.
Amen.
With the Word of God and say, Satan, you've messed with me enough. In Jesus' name, take your foul hands off of me right now.
Amen.
Amen. When I was an assistant pastor, my first church that I was an assistant pastor in, there was meeting in a big theater. It's still there to this day. One of the first counseling appointments I had was a family that came, and it was the husband and wife actually came up and met with me and talked to me and shared with me what their concerns were, what their problem was. And they had just recently gotten saved. They came to the church that we were in, and one of the services they gave their hearts to the Lord. And so they called the office, you know, and they said, we need to talk to a pastor, you know, and I was not the pastor, I was the assistant pastor. So they said, Keith, could you take this family here? So make a long story short, they came into my office, we sat down, and I didn't know anything, that I had no preconceived idea what was going on. They began to explain to me what the problem was, that they would be sitting in their living room and all of a sudden pictures would just fall off the wall. All of a sudden that big 6-foot couch would just slide across the floor as they're sitting there in their living room. And objects would move. And so they're obviously pretty distraught about what's going on. Okay? And they're like, we don't understand this. Ever since we got saved a few weeks before that, this stuff started happening. Okay? And I'm sitting on my high back chair gripping the arms. And I'm like, all right, Holy Ghost, what are we going to say here? And the Lord spoke to my heart, gave me a word of knowledge. He said, Keith, it's just familiar spirits that are just upset because they got saved. Now, prior to them coming to Christ, they were heavily involved in drugs and alcohol and things of that nature. You know, I mean, very, very, very involved with it, you know, more than your average person. They had a bunch of kids, too, you know. And I think they had like 5 kids. And so they're just really upset about this. And I just simply told them, I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, this is very simple. They're waiting for some complicated answer. I said, this is very simple. I said, the devil's just upset that you got born again. And I said, you and I have authority over these spirits from operating in your house. And I said, right now, we're going to take authority over those spirits and we're going to stop that from happening. And you can see a look of ray of hope on their face, like, okay, all right, let's do this. Now, they'd never heard that before because they're just they're brand new. They're only a month old in the Lord. And so I led them and I prayed, you know, and I said, in Jesus' name, we take authority over those, you know, those familiar spirits that are harassing them in their house and command you to leave their premises in Jesus' name, you know. Well, they came back a few weeks later and came, Pastor. He said, guess what? Nothing has moved since then. No furniture is moving unless we move it ourselves. Amen? I said, well, praise God. I said, you have authority in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, we don't want to stand there and let the devil just beat us up through the thoughts. That's the primary way that the enemy attacks you and I, is through our thoughts. That's the only avenue. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Okay? So thoughts that are not taken captive can tend to torment you, intimidate you, and thoughts that you get about yourself, destructive thoughts about yourself, that you're nothing, you know, you're an accident going somewhere to happen. A lot of people have problems with that, you know, poor self-esteem. Listen, I'm all for self-esteem, but it's better to have God esteem. Amen? Because I don't care what family we came out of, there was deficiencies. Let's face it, we all came out of Adam. Amen? And there's some kind of deficiency in everybody, or malfunction or dysfunction. Someone says, oh, they're dysfunctional. Listen, we were all dysfunctional coming out of Adam. That's the story of the cross. Hallelujah. And so we find our identity now in who we are in Christ Jesus. You have power. Use your authority. Open your mouth. You have authority. Amen? Now, identification is really important. Who you identify with. How do you see yourself? Amen? What was that cartoon that came out years ago? The Lion one. The Lion King. I took our kids to see Lion King when they were younger, you know. How many remember that cartoon? Okay. How many like that cartoon? All right. That movie. The movie. Lion King. That was a pretty cool movie. There was some really interesting, some scriptural analogies in there. But you remember when Simba, well, we're really going back here, aren't we? You know, Pastor talked about Lion King in church today. Dear God. But he was trying to find his identity. And remember, he looked, when he was in trouble, he looked in the water and saw a reflection. And then all of a sudden, he saw his dad. And that's when he began to change. He didn't just see little Simba there. He saw Lion King. Are you with me now? And that's what it's like when we begin to look into the mirror of God's Word and we begin to find out who we are in Christ, what we have. Like I said at the beginning, Jesus is your righteousness. You're not trying to attain it. He is your righteousness. He is your wisdom. He is your redemption right now. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. When you get to heaven? Nope. Right now. Right now. He is your wisdom. He is your righteousness. He is your redemption. He is your victory. He's everything that you need. So if you need victory over something in your life today, stop and think about it. Jesus already paid for that for you. So you just see yourself in that. See yourself in that. So you have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, if you go over to Mark chapter 16 here, the first benefit, of course, of speaking with other tongues is that you receive power. You're never without the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, as you look around this room, you know, you'll see that there are plugs in the wall. And you know as well as I do that there's electricity in those plugs. Now, in our case, with all of our equipment up here, you know, we've got plugs that are plugged into the power. Okay? Remember last week we were having some feedback with our bigger monitor that we had here, and Mark says, pull the plug. That's... It's okay to hear that if you're not on that table, amen? Praise God. We came up and we pulled that plug, and what happened? It stopped the feedback because the power then stopped from going through that monitor, and the feedback stopped. But the power's there, and the power of God is here. We just have to know how to plug into it. And the first way to do is realize that you have that power already on the inside of you. Secondly, is that the second benefit of speaking with other tongues is a sign. It's a supernatural sign. Go to Mark 16. And this will be in the King James Version here. Mark 16. Last chapter here. In verse 14, it says this. After this is after the resurrection. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 that sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that them which had seen him after that he was risen. Jesus appears to them and he starts rebuking them. Amen. What's wrong with you guys? You didn't believe me. You didn't believe when they said I was risen from the dead. And he rebuked them for their unbelief. Amen. Praise God. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's where gospel means good news. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now look at verse 17. These signs, Notice the word signs. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You have to believe in the name. If you take the punctuation out, it's you believe in the name. Okay? How many of you are here are believers? Any believers in the house right now? Okay? If you believe in Jesus, you are considered a believer. So believing should come natural. Amen? But notice it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. First sign is this, in my name shall they cast out devils. Or you could say it like this, in my name you shall exercise authority over demons. Okay? So you just can't just get on the street and cast out every devil from that house and this house. Because those people have authority in their house, but you have authority in your house. You can't just go down and just have a mass deliverance and just cast the devil out of everybody because they may want the devil.
That's right.
Okay? But you do have authority in your own house. Just like that situation when I was in my brother-in-law's his bedroom right there. Well, that was dealing with me. I have authority in my own life. And I was just, in a way, I was kind of shocked that it responded so quickly. Okay? That voice. And it was like, literally, it was like one of those mega horns, you know? It was like it was right behind my head. That's how loud it was. Okay? But as soon as I said, it stopped. It stopped. Jesus said the first sign right here, if you believe, he said, you'll cast out devils. Say, I can cast out devils.
I can cast out devils.
Amen? I mean, you can stop them in their tracks, whether they're, you know, whether someone's possessed or whether the devil's just harassing you or whatever, you know, trying to oppress you, make you feel all depressed all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes the devil's lied to so many people, they think that I can't even go through a 2-week period without being so depressed. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you're a child of God and Jesus Christ is your Lord, you have authority.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to go back upstream and ask yourself, did I deal with that when that came to me? When that thought came to me and that oppression came to me, did I deal with it? Well, if I just shut my mouth, then the enemy's going to just stay around. But when you open your mouth, let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say.
You got to say something. So in my name they shall cast out devils. Notice the second sign. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So tongues is a supernatural sign. Now he goes on to talk about some other things. We'll not get into that right here. But he says, in my name they'll cast out devils. In my name they'll speak with new tongues. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1979, I got saved in 76. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1979 in a Brian Rudd crusade. And while I was there in that crusade, at the end of the service when he was preaching, had an altar call, the Spirit of God fell upon me. The Holy Spirit fell upon me. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was preaching at the house of Cornelius. In the middle of his sermon, the Holy Ghost interrupted and the Holy Ghost fell on the house of Cornelius and just stopped the sermon. That's a good interruption. If the Holy Ghost interrupts our meeting, hey, that's great. We just don't want demons and devils interrupting meetings. Amen. And so while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell and the house of Cornelius began to speak with other tongues. Peter heard them. And he was astonished because that on the Gentiles, the initial outpouring of the Gentiles, this is the first Gentiles to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Think about that. But I remember myself, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was working in a paper factory, which recently closed down. It's in Bridgeville. And man, I was just right out of high school and got a job there, working there for a couple of months. And boy, I'll tell you what, this was probably like on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. I got filled with the Spirit. And I tell you, I did not expect this to happen. I had heard about people being filled with the Spirit and that kind of a thing, you know. But I'm standing there. We're all standing, you know, at the end of the service. And all of a sudden, something came over me and I started speaking in this heavenly tongue. Now, I had control over it. It wasn't like I, you know, something just overtook me and I couldn't help myself. But, you know, certainly it was the most wonderful thing in the world. I never felt so good in my entire life. I'm telling you, it was just the most wonderful. And I'm standing there just speaking in tongues, you know, and everybody's around me is doing the same thing, you know. And I thought, this is what they were talking about here. And I'm telling you, I was so thrilled to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the next day I went to work, you know. Of course, I was out really late that night. And they loved every second of it. But I was going to work the next day. But under my breath, you know, and I'm working the paper shredder and I'm doing all this. It's a factory, basically, you know. And I'm under my breath, I'm like, I'm speaking in this fluent language, a foreign language, which, first of all, I don't know what it is. And secondly, I never went to college to learn it. But yet I've got this instant language. Praise God. And so then I would go take a little break, go into the restroom, you know, and just go in there just to get away from everybody and just get a little bit louder. Shambro kite me se prekidia sukuma. Oh. But, you know, here's what happened is if I ever had a doubt about God, this doubt will try to, you know, come against all of us, you know, the reality of God, you know, things will happen, things, you know, thoughts will come. Do you really think God's real and all this kind of stuff? Listen, if you want to eradicate that, just open your mouth and begin to pray in the Spirit. Because you know what? I could have never done that myself. Man, it's, and then it started shifting over in like a Far Eastern language and stuff. I mean, I didn't know what I was saying, but it sounded to me like I was from China or something like that. You know, I'm thinking, praise God, man, I'm doing world travel right now. But here's the thing, is that it was a constant reminder to me of the indwelling presence of God. And if you ever felt dry, you know, you get up, you think, well, I know I'm saved, my name's written in heaven, but you just feel kind of dry. Well, open your mouth and begin to speak in that heavenly tongue that God's given to you. And you know that you know that you know I can't do that apart from Him. Think about that. That is an ongoing miracle. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Listen, folks, think about the Israelites for a minute here. They got so used to the provision of God, the manna and the quail. Think about this. Listen very carefully. They began to complain about it. Now stop, think about that. They began to complain about the manna and the quail, the Israelites. Now, it's not every day that you get up from the most, but we see food rain down from heaven, and then you just go out and pick it up. There's breakfast, lunch, dinner right there every day. And there's no such thing as quail in the desert. I mean, God sent an east wind and brought them from another country and just brought them in there. Boom, just dropped them right before them. They got so acclimated and so used to the miraculous power of God that it almost seemed like everyday ordinary things, but it was supernatural. It made a God that we never get so acclimated to our prayer language that it's like, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, what will be, you know, and get nonchalant about the prayer language that you have. You have a supernatural prayer language from God that should always remind you of, oh, I can't do that apart from Him. So God must be real.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you with me now? I just feel like getting real militant all of a sudden here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I just feel it in my bones. Praise God. But listen to me. The recognition of the presence of God as you pray in that prayer language will eradicate doubt every single time. Are you with me now? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And we'll close here because we're almost out of time. 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. I had the Amplified. Do you have the Amplified back there? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 4. I was going to read the first few verses, but because of time, we're not. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. The third thing, the third benefit, is that tongues are a means of spiritual edification. Okay? Tongues are a means of spiritual edification. 1 Corinthians 14:4, let's read it. It says, "He that speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself." Notice that. "He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself, but he who prophesies interprets the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church, promotes growth, Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness." But notice the first part of that. It says that you edify, that you improve yourself. There's shows that are, of course, on television nowadays about home improvement. Yeah, they got shows for everything now. Dear God. You know? I mean, there's more shows out there than I can keep track of. I mean, people that hunt skunks and everything. And, I mean, the duck, whatever it is, and all those different... just all kind of crazy shows that are out there, you know? Everything you can think of. But the greatest improvement is when you pray in the Spirit, you edify, you build yourself up. You literally, like a battery gets charged, you know? One of our vehicles, you know, we'd sat most of the winter, you know, and because it's not real good in the snow, and went out there to start it, nothing, just a little click and that was it. So here comes AAA. They hook it up, they edify the battery, it starts up. They said, run it for 30 minutes, it should be okay, you know. Well, I get back from somewhere, and after probably an hour running the car, get back, go back into the car to go somewhere else, and click, click, click. Oh, here we go again. We have to call AAA again. So they come out, and they said, well, because you let it sit so long, the battery will not charge anymore. So I had to get a whole new battery. Somebody say, aw. No. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's a lot of spiritual batteries in our lives that we don't want to let it get so low that he can't get charged anymore. And the best way to get charged up is by praying in that language, to pray. Amen? Now, I want to close with this. I don't know if the guys have this back there or not. Josh, do you have that quote back there at all? You don't. Okay, I'll just read it to you here, and we'll close right here. But this last benefit here, we'll get into some more next week about when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself, you build yourself up. Boy, it's a marvelous thing to be able to build yourself up. And just start out with 5 minutes a day if you can. You see, you can do it driving down the street, you know, in your car. But there was a doctor that did a study just a few years ago named Dr. Carl Peterson. I actually had the privilege of meeting him years ago, him and his wife in Texas. His wife, Jamie, Vicki Jameson, was a world traveling evangelist. They came to the church we were in, and she was married to this doctor. And let me just read this to you. You will be amazed when you see this. He said, God has made provision for you and I to be whole, to be well, and to have access to His healing process. Now, I'm quoting him, okay? He said, there is a study that has been done by Dr. Carl Peterson, MD, the husband of the author of the evangelist Vicki Jameson Peterson. This study revealed that there is an available healing power that can be released from our bodies for our own benefit. Dr. Carl Peterson worked on this study at ORU University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a few years ago. Being a brain specialist, he was doing research on what the relationship was between the brain and praying or speaking with other tongues. Some amazing things were discovered. Here's what he said. That's when they hook people up with these probes and everything. And they're doing all this, you know, under the microscope, so to speak. They see the x-rays. They see what's going on in the brain. He says, through research and testing, he found out that that as we pray, and they hook Christians up that would pray in tongues, okay? You know, he would have them pray in English, and then he would monitor the brain, what was going on. Then he would have them pray in tongues, and he would monitor the brain, okay? And he says, he found out that as they prayed in the Spirit or worship in the Spirit, our heavenly language, there is activity that begins to take place in our brain. As we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into the immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost in the immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies. Amazingly, this secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans and is only activated by our prayer led by the Spirit by praying in other tongues. That's amazing. You know, science shouldn't contradict. It should only complement what we already believe anyway. We know it's true. We know it's true. But here's people that were Christians that were hooked up and ran through a battery of tests. And when they prayed in the Spirit, there was activity in that part of the brain that seemingly had no other way of operating it until someone began to pray in other tongues, which made them about 35 to 40% healthier. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Your health can improve by praying in other tongues. Think about that. That means if a person has a disease, if a person has a chronic illness, or doctor said there's no hope for you, praying in the Spirit can break that thing by building something in your brain that God put there for a reason to release supernatural healing in your physical body. Amen. Now next week, I'm going to get into the more of the detail of, okay, why do we speak in tongues? We'll talk about interpretation of tongues. The Bible talks about that. And we'll talk about how to operate these things in your life, personally, in your house, right where you're at. Are you with me? Folks, we are a supernatural church. God never, ever ordained that we just be a bunch of natural people that just love Jesus and that's about it. But God made you and me a supernatural people. Israel was a supernatural people. They had supernatural things happen to them. I mean, lion's mouth being stopped. You know, Red Seas splitting, you know, plagues coming to Egypt. These are all supernatural things. And you and I are supernatural people. And I believe that God is awakening us to the place, all of us, to the place where we know who we are. And we know the power that we have on the inside of us. We can change anything because of that. Are you with me? Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that precious power, Holy Spirit. Now, when I say power, I'm not talking about a thing. We're talking about a person. Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a person. He literally is the power. And so when you have that power, you have a person. Now, Lord, I pray for each one here that as we leave today, that there would be an awakening. Now, Lord, all of us, I'm talking myself, everybody, here in this room right now, that there, our eyes would be open to see the power that belongs to us, to walk in that power, to walk in that authority that you died for us to have. You sent your Son, Lord, just to not just give us eternal life, but to ultimately fill us with your Spirit, to give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to learn throughout this week, Lord, to walk in that authority, to walk in that power. Lord, give us new boldness. New boldness. Some of us, Lord, have been saved for so many years that we can let some of these things slip. But, oh God, may there be a return unto our first love. May there be a return of that power and that glory and that presence. May it burn like fire on the inside of us, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for a fresh baptism of fire in our hearts, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We ask in Jesus' precious name. Thank you so much, Lord.